Welcome to Interviews for Resistance. Since election night 2016, the streets of the U.S. have rung with resistance. People all over the country have woken up with the conviction that they must do something to fight inequality in all its forms. But many are wondering what it is they can do. In this series, we'll be talking with experienced organizers, troublemakers, and thinkers who have been doing the hard work of fighting for a long time. They'll be sharing their insights on what works, what doesn't, what has changed, and what is still the same. I am Sarah Jaffe, your host.
My name is Alejandra Valle. I am the Secretary-Treasurer for SEIU United Service Workers West, the union that represents janitors, security officers, and airport workers across California.
Great. And so I hear that you are one of the organizers of the Caravan Against Fear that is going on right now.
Yes, that's correct. The Caravan Against Fear was organized by SEIU USWW, also Global Exchange, Rompe Viento TV in Mexico City, but then also over 230 organizations, binational organizations, that have come on board. The National Day Labor Organizing Network was also one of the main organizers. And we really just decided that we needed to figure out how to mobilize the masses and how to break through this paralysis of fear that the Trump administration has been strategically trying to implement across the country and the world.
Yeah. So tell us about it. How has it been going so far? Where are you currently?
Yeah, we are in Tucson, Arizona, and right now I'm sitting here at just a refugee-owned Ethiopian restaurant, a small mom-and-pop that heard about the caravan and reached out and wanted to host a lunch for us. So it's just beautiful. To get a warm, meal on the road since we've been eating fast food and junk food and burritos.
Yeah, I believe you.
We stopped here and had some authentic Ethiopian food. The restaurant refugee owned, so that means so much to us that folks are learning about the caravan's mission and want to help in whatever way they can. But we've already gone through. We're on the false day, I believe. We've gone through all of California. From Sacramento to Bakersfield, Modesto, Fresno, San Diego, Los Angeles, Santa Ana, and then we came to Arizona, and so we went to Phoenix, and were received there. We also went to the Tohono O'odham reservation at a mission that they have there to talk about their opposition to the wall in their sacred land. And we are in Tucson, Arizona, protesting against Martha McSally, who is the congresswoman who has been very anti-immigrant in her stance in Congress.
Yeah. And so how many more days do you have?
We are going all the way until May 1st, so we still have a little over a week and a half, almost two to go, and we've been sleeping in churches, we've been sleeping on the floors, and anywhere where people will open up their offices to us or their pews, and so we are on our way to Nogales, where we will be greeting and meeting with a bunch of community folks there who will tell us about what it's like in Nogales for migrant workers and for the work that they're doing on immigration justice. Then after that, we're going to go to Las Cruces tomorrow, where we will be speaking on behalf of a sanctuary ordinance that the city of Las Cruces is thinking of trying to pass. So the caravan really is lifting up resistance efforts across the country. How can we demand more from our local municipalities, our city councils, to stand up and to fight back against the Trump administration's rhetoric of anti-immigrant policies and fear tactics?
Yeah. So I want to talk about May Day, but first I want to talk a little bit about your union and why it's important for your union to be involved in this fight.
I think it's incredibly important for all of the labor movement to be involved in this fight. We have seen us fight around issues of class and wages and benefits for workers, but the issues of racial justice, of Black Lives Matter, of immigration justice, of environmental justice, are really at the forefront of our members' lives every single day. Before they're a worker, they're an immigrant. Before they're a worker, they're a Black human being. Before they're a worker, they are a mom and dad, a parent, a sister, and a daughter. So we just decided that we needed to take this on, and the caravan itself is incredibly diverse. It's filled of people of African Americans who have been criminalized for decades and know what it's like to be discriminated against and killed and disproportionately impacted because of the color of their skin. But it's also filled with a lot of immigrant women who also know what it's like to be marginalized and to be discriminated against and exploited against because of their immigration status and because they don't speak English in this country. So we really felt strongly that we need to resist at every level. Our employers need to resist when ICE comes knocking at their doors. Our community needs to resist and rise up the way we have in the other moments like 2006. And our, you know, and our congressmen and assemblywomen and men have to resist as well. And so we said we have to break through this paralysis of fear that Trump is using to try to keep us from doing anything and to try to keep us scared of our own shadows and living in this underground economy. But at the same time, we've also seen him targeting people of color, starting to publish lists and, you know, and really criminalizing us in a lot of different ways. So that's what we're out there here doing. We're telling all the community, we're telling young kids, there's nothing wrong with us. We are hardworking people. We help make this economy work, and we are going to stand up for our rights and hoping that the rest of the country and the world will follow.
Yeah. And your particular union has a history of being involved in immigrant workers' fights and the 2006 Day Without an Immigrant, right?
That's correct. And our union has led the fight on justice for janitors back in the 80s and 90s when immigrants were beaten by the LAPD in Century City and also went out on a massive strike of almost 8,500 workers that shut down the city of Los Angeles. So our union has been fighting for immigration justice for decades to bring workers out of the shadows and to have unions themselves and the labor movement embrace them and organize them and lift the standards up for all workers. At the same time, our union has also been incredibly involved in looking at what's happening to black workers and black workers who at one point made up and had a large population in the city of Los Angeles and across California and across California and also make up a large portion of a lot of the industries. But we have seen a displacement of black workers in our country and in California specifically. So we have been very involved in organizing black security officers, many of them who wear a uniform but live in poverty, and we are fighting for black worker justice and highlighting why is it that black workers are disproportionately impacted and discriminated against at work, but then also in their own communities. So this caravan is really bringing our communities together. It's traveling from California all the way through the southern border, and we're going to drive all the way back to LA, and we're going to participate in a national general strike as workers, as rank and file members who are saying we have everything to lose in this moment, and our economic and our human worth needs to be respected, and we need to stand up and make sure that the whole world and that Donald Trump and his administration understand that we help make this economy work. We pick the fruits and vegetables that end up in our tables. We wash and clean the toilets of the richest buildings, many that Donald Trump himself owns. We guard and we protect our communities, and we put on our uniform security officers to make sure that some of his buildings and other buildings across the country are protected, and also we're first responders to any kind of natural disaster or emergency happens. And we contribute to this economy every single day. And so Donald Trump needs to respect our human worth, this administration, and needs to also respect our economic worth as well. And that's why we're going to shut it down on May 1st.
Yeah. So since the election of Donald Trump, the strike has really kicked up another notch in the public consciousness. And there was a lot of sort of debate around the women's strike about whether it was privileged to take a day off from work. And so I would love to hear you talk about why it's important for the least privileged workers in our economy to actually use the strike as a weapon.
Look, personally, I believe that all of the dissenters, the Women's March was an incredible inspiration. It was the largest mobilization that we have had in the history of our country. And I think that that's the way that we make change in this country, in this world. It's when people who are not necessarily impacted the same way as marginalized communities, when those people are standing up, they are taking risks, and they are helping to lead that charge. Martin Luther King said that loud and clear. When you had white allies and you had interfaith allies that joined the front lines, that's when you started to really make a difference. So I think that all the people are trying to do their best to resist in this moment. Are putting their little grain in the sand and inspiring us. But I also do believe that amongst us, even myself, I'm a U.S. citizen. My parents are undocumented. But all of us need to take a look at our own privilege and figure out how we, as human beings, help lift up somebody who is not as privileged, who's marginalized, and who's more vulnerable and disproportionately impacted either by their status or because they're women of color or people of color. And I believe that this is the moment, and I'm hopeful and inspired by what I've seen so far, and I really do believe that all of what we've been doing is going to carry us to May 1st. And I think that a lot of those efforts have been building towards this major escalation, and then it doesn't end on May 1st. We're going to have to continue. So I feel very hopeful about that, and I think that anything any of us can do, but always constantly reminding ourselves that we do have that responsibility to carry others on our shoulders and to create real spaces for them to lead and to come around their struggle and build solidarity with the way that we will defeat the racism and the hate of the Donald Trump administration.
Yeah. So what, tell us what May Day is going to look like in Los Angeles.
May Day is going to be incredible in Los Angeles. We are expecting thousands of people. There's estimates right now that there's going to be probably more than there was at the Women's March. It is on a Monday. So we've been talking to businesses. You can see our posters up all over the Fashion District, all over Highland Park, that say Somos el Pueblo, shut it down May 1st. Somos el Pueblo, huelga May 1st. And they're beautiful posters that Ernesto Llerena, who trained with Shepherd Fairey, who also did We the Resilient for the Women's March, has really added that element of art and culture to this movement. So I really do believe that it's going to be lively. I think it's going to be full of art and culture and this just amazing heartbeat of sacrifice of people of color, of white allies, of women, a day without an immigrant. We're also working with some musicians who want to come and to perform. But we're literally calling for not just not showing up to work on May 1st, shut down your business, walk out of school, come out with your family members to march with us. And there is going to be a local march in each of the geographies, not just Los Angeles, but Sacramento, San Francisco, Oakland, San Diego, Santa Ana, Orange County. And we really do believe that this is going to send a strong message to the administration, but also to this country that we are in a moment of crisis. What we're seeing right now is a lot of our rights being violated. And we don't do anything. May 1st and the caravan, all of it is preventative. It's to get to a point where we don't have a catastrophe where we open up a Pandora's box of constitutional rights that are being violated left and right. But that's unfortunately what we're seeing right now with this Donald Trump administration. Everything from the ban to the raids and deportations of people, the persecution of law enforcement, of our immigrant communities when they pull them over and get them to pressure them and use those pressure tactics to get them to sign away their temporary protected status or the only status that they may have and are immediately give up their right to process. The assaults that we're seeing on women at detention centers and the losses against that. We are experiencing a humanitarian crisis right now, and it's Pandora's box if we let this happen, because it means that all of our constitutional rights are at stake.
Anything else people should know about Caravan or May Day or the work that you're doing?
Just that we should really urge people to get involved. You can get more information at caravanagainstfear.org. You can follow the caravan every we're doing, saying no to the persecution of immigrants, saying no to deportations and the separation of families, saying no to the mural, saying yes to resistance efforts, and shutting it down and going out on strike on May 1st. You can find all of that on caravanagainstfear.org, and we will take it to the streets the same way that we did in 2006. Si se puede.
Interviews for Resistance is a project of Sarah Jaffe with assistance from Laura Faillebois and support from the Nation Institute. You can find more information at necessarytrouble.org. Thanks for listening.